to go now. My time here is over. And with her final words, she tried to help me understand. Mama whispered softly, time will ease your pain. Life's about change and nothing ever stays the same. And she said, how can I help you to say goodbye? It's okay to hurt and it's okay to cry. Come let me hold.
It's 9 o'clock at Real Country 1430 AM Stereo WRDN Durand Mondovi Wabasha and 107.3 FM Translator W297CH Durand. Time now for the weekly service from the First Baptist Church of Algiers in Walker, Louisiana.
Father, we thank you for this morning that we could come here and assemble ourselves together in the house of the Lord. And we thank you that you brought some of our folks here. Others not able to be here, but we thank you for them. And all of those on our who can hear over the radio, missions radio, we thank you for them. Maybe inclement weather where they live or here where we live, but we hear. And the Lord says, for not forsake our assembling ourselves together. And we thank you for it. We ask you now to bless the services, the rest of the services through the day. We thank you for the broadcast of the early broadcast and then the Bible school. And we ask you now to take hold of our hearts and our lives. Draw us in from the cares of the world and turn our hearts toward thee. Bless our people. Bless our folk on the sick bed. So many of them. We'll name many of them in a minute. And have mercy upon us, O Lord, for Christ's sake. Amen. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis. I'm borrowed a few minutes from Brother Glenn to let me have a few words to say and let folks know I'm still alive and kicking. And not kicking too high, but still kicking. But I'm glad to be here and glad to see you folks here. And I know it's a rainy, cold day, but that's all right. The Lord knows all about it. And I praise the Lord for it. Let's open our red songbooks now to number 39 and sing Where He Leads, I'll Follow. Let's see. Verses 1, 2, and 3. Come on, let's sing it out now.
Example is a pattern for
going to be here in a minute. And I just wanted to have an opportunity to say how much I appreciate each one of you and hearing from me. And then I asked you to help me by calling me and writing me. And I'm always at the office, and Brother Freddie and I and Brother Glenn, we always there about early and get us a biscuit or a donut and hear the old Trailblazer broadcast and have prayer. So you meet us there, if you will, one morning, any morning of the week, Monday through Friday. And but I praise the Lord for it. Let me give you our prayer list at this time. We have a whole page full. I'm going to try to read them if I can, if I don't miss them. Miss Wileen and her sister Peaches, I understand they're in some assisted living facility there in California. And so I'm doing well, last I heard from them. Then we have Brother Ben White and his family, Brother Ken and Miss Dory Gale and Miss Dorothy Vale. Brother Glenn got to go visit Brother Ken and them this past week. Miss Pat Kaufman, Brother Gerald Robinson, Miss Marie Thompson, Miss Theda Adcock, Miss Carolyn Antoine, and Eloise Antoine, Becky Boudreaux. Some of you folks that I'm calling your name, if you're able, drop me a card. Let me know how you're doing. Or pick up the phone and call me or email me. And Miss Audrey Thomas, Brother Justin's wife, Joaquin Martinez, Brother Terry Newton, Brother Russell Perry, Miss Gina Marshall, Brother Robert Waymire is in the hospital over there somewhere in Texas. And Arvis Shows is in a nursing home there in Hattiesburg, Mississippi. I was able to talk to him on the phone one day this week. And he seemed to be very, very ill and not strong enough to be up and around. Miss Lynn King is a lady friend of ours up in Jackson, Mississippi. Brother Glenn Gale and his wife, they're both not well. Miss Becky and Beth Ingalls, and I got Mary Kaufman down here. That's not Miss Pat, huh? Okay. And then Miss Marilyn Lessinger, Brother Henry Lessinger's wife, is not doing well. Then in the nursing home, Brother Jimmy Gale. Many of you don't know that's Miss Debbie Welch's son. Brother Clifford Birchfield is very, very, very low. Let's put it like that. Then we have Mary Perrin, Miss Claudia Fisher over there in Waco, Texas, 103 years old. And Brother Harold Cranfield. Miss Fisher's over there in Waco with some of her children. And they tell me she's going strong. I took dinner with her one day, my family and Brother, some of the folks up there, and had cornbread and mustard greens and all those things. So we miss those things. Now let's get our red book again and sing To God Be the Glory, number 227, verses 1, 2, and 3.
Thank you.
all know that our choir is known all over this world. It is. We've been advertising it for a long time and selling the CDs and still have them for sale if anybody's interested. And in the internet radio, they play our music 25, 30, 40 times a day. If y'all ever listen to it, I don't know if you do or not. Maybe you can't. But they play our music time after time. And I listen to it in daytime, a lot of time, and at night. But also, I wanted to mention Mary Kaufman. That's Brother Eric's wife, and I should have known that, but I've known those. The Kaufman family is one of the earliest families under this ministry there in Baton Rouge, and now they live out here at Walker. And I guess I ever knew that her name was Mary, but I just knew who she was. So let's pray for her, too. She's not doing well. Now let's all turn again to number 69, Morning Will Come, verses 1 and 3, and Brother Glenn going to come bring the message.
Praise the Lord for that song, for that music, for all those choir tapes and the recordings that we have. And also want to praise the Lord for our pastor. I thank the Lord for him. Glad he's still able to guide the work here. And we thank the Lord for him. Y'all keep praying that the Lord will continue to bless him, that he'll be able to perchance come and bring us a message.
Do a little more work.
Amen. A little more. May the Lord bless us all. And I'm glad to be here. The weather outside's a little drizzly and rainy and cold, but like Pastor said, it's warm in here, and the Lord's blessed us with a really gracious building here, so I thank the Lord for it. But I want to speak this morning. I've titled the message, Satan's Deception. And the deception of Satan, as I've looked around the world and see the people, listen to different preachers and their preaching and the message they bring, it seems that most people don't even consider Satan's deception. And the Bible lays it out to us so plainly that it's there and that the deception is real. And the Bible, we find many instances through God's Word where it indicates to us that this deception is there. And I want to give you two, I think, kind of subtle indications of the deception. There in Luke 5:32, Christ said, "I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Now, that's a subtle indication of deception, that just that one verse. And then in Matthew 9:12, it says, "When Jesus heard that, he said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick." Now, these two scriptures give us just a little hint, an indication of deception. And whenever we look at where Christ said, "I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance," well, people tend to think, well, he's calling the sinners, and I'm not a sinner. I'm a pretty good old guy, and I'm not living that bad of a life. But the problem is that deception, Satan's deception, has you blinded. Whenever you think that you're not a sinner, whenever you think you're in some manner righteous, you're deceived. Okay, and it's the same where he says, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. And it's the same thing there. We go about saying, well, I'm fine. I'm not sick. I'm not sin sick. I don't need the great physician to heal me. I don't see a need for all that. I feel fine. I don't see myself to be sinful. I don't see myself to be wicked. And where the Bible talks about the Lord being angry with the wicked, I don't see myself as wicked. But that's that deception that Satan has pushed off on us. It's deception. These Pharisees in Luke 5:32, they thought that Christ was above the publicans and the sinners, and that he shouldn't be associating with them. But Christ quickly told them, that's why I came. I came to save these people, these that will come. And that's the whole point of the gospel. The healing physician, Christ, has come to save lost sinners. Those sin-sick sinners, the publicans, the harlots, the sinners. Matthew Henry says, the publicans are sick. The publicans were despised. They knew what they were. They knew how they acted. They knew they were sinners. The publicans were sick, and they know they need to be saved. They know they need help. And the Pharisees, they say, oh, well, we keep the law. We fast, we tithe, we pray, we do all these things. And they don't think that they need a Savior. They don't see themselves as sinners. But that's just Satan's deception. That's Satan working in the heart, blinding the mind, and keeping you contented with the state you're in. Now, many people, I don't think people really understand, or most people, the work that Satan does. Now, we think that Satan, like pastors described him many times, is somebody that's long tail and a pitchfork and got horns sticking out his head and this kind of thing. But the Bible teaches us that Satan works in the mind, that he comes into the mind and he puts thoughts into your mind. These thoughts are lies, but Satan injects these thoughts into your mind, and you can't tell that these thoughts come from Satan. These thoughts seem just like your own thoughts. And these thoughts come into the mind. Satan puts them there. Satan puts them there. And he says, he makes you to think, well, you're not that bad a guy. You're not so sinful. You're not so wicked. What have you ever done that God should send you to hell? And Satan puts these thoughts into your mind, and you believe them like they're your own thoughts, and you agree with them, and you say, yeah, I'm not that bad. Why would God want to send me to hell? And this is the deception of Satan. It's Satan's lies. And God, Christ, is telling you, I came to save you. And you're saying, well, I don't need to be saved. I'm not sinful. I'm not wicked. That's the deception of Satan, and that's the problem we deal with today. Christ dealt with it in his time, and it's still here. It hasn't went anywhere. Now, you may not be a Pharisee like Christ was speaking to there, but we all have some manner, some amount, some measure of self-righteousness. And the more you're deceived, I believe the more self-righteousness springs up within you. And that self-righteousness says, I've been living a good life. I've been doing good. I don't have sin that needs to be put away. I don't need a redeemer. And that's Satan's deception. You can't see that you have sin that needs to be put away. You're just like those Pharisees there in Christ, in the time of Christ, where they were looking at Christ and they were looking at the Pharisees and the publicans. We're looking at the Pharisees. We're looking at the publicans, the sinners, the harlots, and those, and saying, these people are terrible. Why is Christ associating himself with them? He needs to put them away, get away from them. It's going to rub off on them. You know, they say you're judged by the friends you keep. And I can't help but think, well, the Pharisees were looking at Christ and saying, well, he's hanging out with these publicans, these sinners, these harlots, the thieves, and all this. Maybe that's all he is. Maybe that's all he is. But Christ said, I came to seek and to save the lost. Those that are sick, that's who I came for. I came to call sinners to repentance. Now, before the Lord saved me, I was blind. I was deceived. I couldn't see my need for salvation. And I was just like these Pharisees here. That's how I used to think. And I couldn't see a need for salvation. And whenever the Lord awakened me and showed me what I am, I came to see and understand that great deception that Satan has over us. The Lord broke that deception. And every sinner that the Lord ever saves will have that deception broken, and you'll see it to some extent. It may be a great thing in your life, or it may be a lesser thing. But in my life, it was a very great thing. Whenever the Lord awakened me and showed me how deceived that I really was. And let me just speak for a minute about being awakened, because we go out over a lot of radio stations across the country, and I believe that a lot of people have never heard preaching about being awakened. And we speak on being awakened a lot here. And to be awakened, is when the Holy Spirit comes. The Lord sends the Holy Spirit to come and work and move in your heart and in your mind and to break Satan's deception. Now that's, in a nutshell, that's what it means to be awakened. It means to have Satan's deception broken in your heart and mind, that you can see and understand that you're a sinner. You'll see what you are in the sight of God. You'll be able to understand how God sees you when God looks at you. Now, while we're deceived, we think we're okay. We think we're doing good. We got a lot of things going for us. We're not in jail, maybe. We got food on the table, nice place to live, good health, all these things. We think, well, I'm good. Have a good job, not lying, cheating, and stealing all day, every day, not going out getting drunk at night, and all those things. But that doesn't make you righteous in the sight of God. No matter how good a life you live, you can never be righteous in the sight of God. Now, when the Lord awakens you, when the Holy Spirit comes and He breaks Satan's deception, you'll begin to see that you're a sinner by God's decree, by birth, by action. You'll see that you're a sinner. You'll see that that sin is against a holy God. You'll come to understand, to know well, that sin must be punished. These are things that the Holy Spirit will make you to know, understand. It'll be plain to you, and you'll be able to see plainly that because of your sin, that you are already condemned to an eternal hell, and that you're only waiting the execution of that judgment, that condemnation. It's there. It's done. You're condemned to hell, and you're soon to be there. Now, that's the state of every unsaved person. Condemned, waiting for the execution. You need to know that every unsaved person is blinded and deceived, and they can't see that state. That state is there. You're condemned. You may not feel it. You may not understand it. But it's there. I think it's Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ. No condemnation now. When the Lord saves you, that condemnation is gone. The Lord puts it away. But until the Lord saves you, that condemnation is there. You're a sinner. While you're blind and deceived, you don't know it. You don't feel it. But when the Lord awakens you, then you feel. You know. You know your sin. You know your condemnation. You know that you need a Redeemer. You'll come to know it. To be awakened is to come to see a need of salvation. It's to see it. Only the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, can awaken you. No man can do it. It's a work of God. It must be done by God. Now, just as sure as Satan works in the mind, then the Holy Spirit comes and pushes Satan out, breaks the deception, and causes you to see that you need a Savior. The whole point of being awakened is shown there. You need to see a need. Whenever the Spirit awakens you, you'll see it. And we see by these scriptures that the Lord has given us in His Word that the Lord will help. He will help those who see their need. Those who see a need. The Lord will help. not only those that need help, because we all need help, the deceived, the blind, those that don't think they need it, we still need it. You still need it. You're still headed for hell. You just don't realize it because of Satan's deception. But the Lord will help those that admit to that need, those that feel that need, those who the Lord has caused to see their need. That's the ones that the Lord helps. Those that see their need begin to call on the Lord. They begin to plead with the Lord, beg for mercy, beg for strength, beg for salvation. Now the Bible tells us in Isaiah 40:29 that he giveth power to the faint. He giveth power to the faint. And when he says he giveth power to the faint, he's talking about those fainting ones who see their need. Those fainting ones who admit to Christ that they're sinners, that they're struggling with sin, that they want to get away from sin, that sin has become a grief. They see their need. They see that they need divine help. And Christ is speaking to those that see a need, those that are not able to help themselves. He says, I came not to call the righteous. The righteous, we need to look at that in two different ways here. Whenever he speaks of the righteous, you can take that as being absolute and saying a totally righteous person. The only righteous people are the ones that the Lord has redeemed. He has made us righteous before God. So when he says, I came not to call the righteous, well, that's the righteous are those that are already saved. There are none righteous. All have sinned. So when he says, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance, this includes everybody. Christ calls every one of us to come, to repent. That's what it means. Now, we can also look at it as self-righteous, because that will pretty well hold. He says, I came not to call the righteous. And if we make that to be the self-righteous, we think that we're righteous in ourselves, that we need no salvation. We don't need to repent. That self-righteousness will keep us from seeking the Lord. That deception will keep us believing that we're self-righteous and we'll never come to the Lord. But either way, Christ came to call every lost sinner to come. Come. You say, well, I don't feel deceived. I don't see that I'm a sinner. And I don't see Satan. And I don't feel Satan. And my life's pretty good. And I don't go to church. And I don't feel like I need to go to church. And I don't need to be saved. Well, do you believe God's word? Do you believe where it says that all have sinned? Do you? Do you believe those things? If you do, then ask the Lord to make you to see. Ask the Lord to cause you to see what you are in God's sight. Because God is not deceived. He sees your sin. He knows your sin. And the Bible says that you're condemned already. That condemnation hangs over you. Ask the Lord to awaken you and make you to know your need for salvation. When Christ is speaking to those who see a need, he's speaking to the publicans, the harlots, the thieves, the sinners. When he is speaking to those, they see a need. They know they're sinners. They are still, in some manner, deceived. That deception is still there. But they know enough to know that they're sinners. And they know that they need salvation. But Christ came to save them. He came to save you. But they're not able, you're not able, to struggle and strive and break free of Satan that you might come to Christ. Even those who know that they're sinners, you know that you've sinned against God. You know that you're condemned to hell. But Satan's deception, he may not be able to deceive you into believing that you have no sin. He deceived me into believing that I had no sin. But if Satan can't deceive you into believing that you have no sin, then he'll deceive you into believing that Christ won't save you. He'll deceive you and make you think, well, your sin is not enough for the Lord to worry about. Don't worry about it. It's a little thing. Lord will pass by it. It don't mean much. He'll deceive you. He'll deceive you into thinking that, well, you can just join the church and be saved. He'll let you think, well, that's good enough. He'll deceive you into thinking you can shake the preacher's hand, or that you can be baptized or say this prayer, or whatever happens to be before you. And there's plenty of deception in the world. And Satan will use whatever is convenient to deceive you. And he'll let you think, he'll tell you, well, you're okay. You've joined the church. You've been baptized. You've done all these things. You're okay. Don't you worry about seeking the Lord. You don't need to be awakened. Everything is fine. And just go on to church and keep living a good life. And that's Satan's deception. And it's everywhere. And it is strong. And you cannot break it. It's there. And apart from the Spirit of God moving upon you, you will believe Satan's lie. Even in the face of God's word saying that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and you'll say, well, I joined the church. That's good enough. I was baptized. I'm okay. And it all amounts to the fact that you choose to believe the lie because you have the facts before you in God's word. People will say, well, I want to be saved. I can stop my sin. I can stop drinking, sleeping around. I can clean up my life, and I can make myself acceptable to God. Do you feel that way? You can stop all the wickedness in your life, and you can stop, and you should stop, but that will never make you acceptable to God. It leaves you as a sinner in need of salvation. That's what it does. You cannot get away from that. You're a sinner, and that's all you'll ever be. You can't clean up your life enough to become acceptable to God. You can't. Sin, we can just say that sin leaves a stain that cannot be cleaned up. Only the blood of Christ can wash away that stain and make you acceptable to the Lord. You can stop all your wicked ways. You can stop piling up your sin. You can live as best the best life possible, but your past sin will still be there. You can't put it away. You can't get away from it. And when God looks at you, He sees you in your sin. And it doesn't matter how much you clean up your life, your sin, your past sin is still there. If you quit sinning today and you never sin again, your past sin is still there. What are you going to do? You can't get rid of it. You can't do anything with it. You can't put it away. You keep trying to save yourself. You keep on trying to be good. And you think if you can be good enough, that God will save you. But you can't be good enough. You can't. And that's self-righteousness. And that's Satan whispering in your ear, well, you've been good. You're doing all these things. Haven't you done this? And haven't you done that? And joined the church and been baptized? And Satan will keep on with his deception in your heart, in your mind. And he will convince you. You will believe it. Except by the power of God's Holy Spirit, you'll believe it. You will. You keep saying, I want to be saved. I want to be saved. You keep trying to save yourself. You can't save yourself. Christ came to seek and to save. He came, what does it say? To call sinners to repentance. He came. You keep trying to save yourself. And Satan keeps whispering in your ear his lies. And you never see that you can't save yourself. You can't see that you're sick. Like the Bible says, you can't see that you're sick until you're awakened. You can't see it. You don't understand it. It doesn't make sense to you. Now, you might think, when the Lord said, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance, you might think the Lord's implying that the Pharisees are righteous. You might think that, but the Lord's not trying to tell you that. But He's calling those that see a need of salvation. If you don't see a need, if you don't see your sinful condition, then you are one of the self-righteous Pharisees, just like those in Christ's time. You're just a self-righteous person. The Lord has called, and you said, well, He's not calling me. Because He said He's calling sinners, and I'm not a sinner. And you go on in your self-righteousness, thinking that the Lord is not calling you to repentance. And Satan continues whispering in your ear, yeah, you're not that bad a person. He's not talking to you. He's talking to old so-and-so over there. Remember what he did? Remember how he lives? And all these things. And Satan will whisper in your ear, and he'll keep you convinced that the Lord is not calling you and that you don't need calling. Now, we think because that we've never seen Satan firsthand, we can't see him, we can't feel him, we have no means to determine what Satan does or the things he does, but Satan is real. He does actually impart these wicked thoughts into your mind. He keeps you deceived just as sure as if you close your eyes and can't see the light of the sun. That's how real Satan is. And that is how real his deception is. Now, we tend to think of Satan as just some kind of a little influence and that we can make a deal with the devil and these kind of things because the nature of man's depravity, how depraved we are, and that all comes back to how deceived we are. We think, and Satan will let us go on thinking, and he'll help us along that way. Well, you can make a deal with the devil, and Satan's sitting over there laughing and chuckling and saying, yeah, you can make a deal. You can make a deal. But you ain't making no deal with the devil. You can't even find the devil to make a deal with him. He's got you so deceived, you don't even believe that he's there. When the Lord began to deal with me, I was so deceived that I thought in myself that I was not sinful enough to be saved. That's how deceived I was. I was deceived. I had my own thoughts about myself. I thought I was a good person, and I was as self-righteous as any Pharisee. By my own thoughts, I excluded myself from salvation. By my own thoughts, I considered myself without sin. In some warped, twisted manner, that's the way I felt. And I felt that I would have to pile up a bunch of sin, and then when I had a load of sin, that I could come to Christ and plead for mercy. Now, I don't know about you, but I believe that every saved person can relate to that. The deception of Satan. First off, for anybody to think I don't have sin is crazy. It's so far out that it's not even a considerable idea. You can't, it's ludicrous. I don't have sin. But yet, Satan blinded me, deceived me, and caused me to believe that. But after the Lord awakened me, opened my eyes, enlightened my mind and my understanding, well, I was able to see then, when that deception was broken and I could see that I was a sinner. And not just a little sinner, but a great sinner. I went from being, you might say, the most holy person around to being the most wicked person around. And nothing in my life changed, only the moving of the Spirit and awakening me and showing me the difference. Now that's, to me, that has been one of the most enlightening things in my life. When the Lord showed me what I am. Now, I don't believe that everybody is as deceived as I was, but I do believe that everybody is deceived because God's word says that Satan deceives the whole world. But the Bible tells us plainly, listen, we're talking about Satan's deception. He says, if our gospel is hid, it is hid to them that are lost. It's hid to them that are lost, those who are not saved, those who don't believe. The gospel is hidden from you. He says, in whom the God of this world, which is Satan, the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. This is again telling us of Satan's deception. The God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not. Now it says, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine. Now, whenever we look at this in a plainer, simpler form, it says, Satan has blinded the mind. And if he had not blinded the mind, then the gospel of Christ would shine in. You'd see it. You'd know it. You'd understand it. You'd see that you're a sinner. But because of Satan's deception, you can't see it and you don't see it. Now this is, he says that the God of this world has blinded the mind. Now this blindness is a spiritual blindness. And it doesn't mean that you can't see the physical light, the sun, and these things. But it's a literal thing in that you're blind, the lost sinner being spiritually blind, you can't see, you can't know, you can't understand that you're a sinner in need of salvation. Now, this is God's word. A lost sinner, a blind sinner, a deceived sinner, and that's what we all are until the Lord comes, every one of us, spiritually blind, can't see our need, can't see and understand why Christ had to come and die. Doesn't make sense. I remember how I was, how deceived I was, how I wanted to be saved. I wanted to avoid hell, but I couldn't see a need of Christ. I couldn't see that I was a sinner. Satan's deception. We're all sinners. The Apostle Paul called himself the chief of sinners. Remember Paul? He was a one of these Pharisees riding into Damascus to take prisoners of all those dastardly old Christians. He tells us of how good and proper and righteous a life that he led. He tells us of it. He said, as to touching the law, he was blameless. He was as righteous as a person could get. But after the Lord awakened him, he says, I'm the chief of sinners. The chief of sinners. The most sinful of sinners. And that's where the Lord found me. The chief of sinners. I don't know why the Lord saved me. I don't know why he didn't leave me in my deception and let me go on. But the only way that a poor blind sinner can be delivered from Satan's deception is by the power of God. The almighty power of God. You can't deliver yourself. You can't awaken yourself. You can't fight off Satan. You can't break his deception. Let me ask you this. You think of yourself. Ask yourself these questions. Am I righteous before God? Am I a sinner? Do I need to have my sins put away? Do I need to be redeemed by Jesus Christ? Am I a sinner that needs that? Ask yourself. If you have no need, if you don't see that you're a sinner, you have no need for a redeemer. You have your own righteousness. You're not in need of righteousness. You don't need to be saved. Christ is not calling you. He didn't come to save you. But if you do see yourself a sinner, if you're struggling with sin, if you see that you have no righteousness of your own, and they're struggling and striving with sin, and you can't get away from it, then Christ calls you to come. He says, come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. He says, ho, everyone that thirsteth. What did Jesus say? Those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, they'll be filled. He says, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. He that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. You're called to come, given every reason to come. Won't you come? I praise the Lord that He gave me grace to come. Look to Christ. Call on Him. He'll save you. That was His purpose in coming. Our Father, I do thank You now for this time. Lord, I thank You for Thy word, for Thy great and gracious and plenteous promises to us. And Lord, I just plead with You, have mercy on us. Bless us now. Thank You for this time. May it be used, Lord, for Thine honor and glory. And go with us now through the rest of the day and bring us back tonight. And I ask this in Christ's name and for His sake. Amen.
You've been listening to the First Baptist Church Algiers weekly service from Walker, Louisiana. If you would like to find out more information about the church or send a prayer request, visit radiomissions.org. That's radiomissions.org. It's Sunday morning on WRDN.
Real Country, 1430 AM and 107.3 FM.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Sunshine and at times a few high clouds, otherwise light south winds. Highs reaching the lower 40s this afternoon. Overnight, partly cloudy skies, lows in the upper 20s. Monday, mostly sunny, lower 50s. Grandpa's barbecue sauce made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. It's 18 at our studios.
Real Country, 1430 AM stereo. WRDN. Durand, Downsville, Pepin, and 107.3 FM. Translator W297CH Durand.
Coming up next, please stay tuned for